Welcome back to the Roundtable. I hope you all had a very, very nice weekend. I did. Thank you for asking. And the reason was because I was reading PJ O'Rourke's brand new book, A Cry from the Far Middle, Dispatches from a Divided Land. It looks at the state of these United States, including essays on everything from the political effects of social media. Whose bright idea was it to make sure that every idiot in the world is in touch with every other idiot? The chapter titling, to a plan advanced to reform federal poverty programs, just give them the money. PJ O'Rourke has written 19 books on subjects as diverse as politics and cars and etiquette and economics. He is a regular panelist on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, a contributing writer for the Washington Post editorial page, and the editor-in-chief of the web magazine American Consequences. We always love when he joins us on the program. PJ O'Rourke, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, Joe, and I'm glad that I gave you a happy weekend.
It was a very happy weekend. I am interested in this collection because you seem to, yes, you are able to form very coherent thoughts, and yet it does seem like the rest of us, you're just trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
I'm a head scratcher. I'm a total head scratcher. I bumped into Jeb Bush. It was in February in Washington, right before everything broke bad. And Jeb Bush is an extremely nice guy. However you may feel about his political positions, he's just a very nice person. And he was saying, "All my life I've thought I was right out on the edge of conservatism, and now I find myself a moderate."
Which says a lot about what we've been through over the last 4 years, and trying to distill that down now into an election season seems, well, impossible and really scary.
It totally does. I mean, I'm terrified of Trump. I always have been terrified of Trump. On a character level, you know. I mean, I got 3 kids, you know, so that means that I've raised, which means my wife has raised, 3 toddlers. And, I know the whole situation of toddler at the top of the stairs. And, you know, so it's been like 4 years of toddler at the top of the stairs, you know. And yet, on the other hand, I actually read Joe Biden's campaign platform. Is 564 pages long. We're all getting a flying pony.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried.
Yeah. So when you have a chapter in the book, which is very funny, the way that you do it, because you do left-wing kook ravings and right-wing nut rants in not-so-typeface and random flake blathers and blither blather font and so there is the kooky typeface. Anyway, the name of the chapter is One Nation Divided as Hell, and you take a look at the Declaration of Independence and the preamble to the Constitution, and I'm just curious as to what you get from that. I know it's hard to explain it, how beautifully it looks on the page, but give us an example of how that gives us an illustration of where we are right now.
Yeah, I mean, you take these two very fundamental things, you know. I'm not sure the founders lived up to all their highfalutin words, but the words themselves were pretty darn cool. And if you parse them, if you go through them, you start to realize that our right-wing Trumpisteers and our left-wing looting for peacers and our just general bag of kooks no longer even agree with the Declaration of Independence or the preamble to the Constitution. I mean, this is a kind of fighting with each other that we haven't seen since 1861, and let's hope it doesn't go in that direction. And I'm saying, you know, gosh, can't we go back to being mad at each other in just a friendly old Tip O'Neill, Ronald Reagan kind of way? We've got... It's a big country with big issues. We've got plenty to argue about. But can't we argue in a nice, old-fashioned way? I'm not saying everybody should hug, especially in these COVID times. But and I'm not saying why can't we just all get along. I understand why we can't all just get along. We've never all just gotten along. But can't we, like, you know, it's like having... anybody who's been in a long-term relationship knows about arguing between couples. And there comes that point in the argument where you start throwing the kitchen sink. So, yeah. And not only that, you left a wet towel on the bed last week. And that seems to be the point we've reached in America, you know, where we just can't forgive each other anything. And it's, you know, a 320 million party divorce would be a really messy thing.
Mm. You start off the book with a manifesto for extreme moderation, and this is what you say. What this country needs is fewer people who know what this country needs. Well, boy, amen, PJ, amen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really complicated country. Always has been a really complicated country. I mean, we don't have those, like, ties of culture and history and ethnicity that underlie, even if they're strained a little bit, underlie most countries, France, you know, or England or whatever. We're a strange bunch over here. I mean, a bunch of us arrived on a sort of land scam. The people who were here originally were defeated by demography and disease, really, not military force, until they were reduced to being foreigners in their own country. We're all foreigners. Some of us were driven here by poverty. Some of us were dragged here involuntarily by slavery. And some of us were outcasts from our previous societies in Europe for good reason. We were outcasts. And so we've always been this, like, nation of kooks, and somehow we've made it work. But is it quitting working? Scares me.
You in the beginning of the book you have a preface, and of course you do mention that, you know, in the pre-preface, actually it's a pre-preface.
Yeah, I kept having to write prefi or whatever the plural of prefaces is to this book, because I kept being overtaken by events. You know, I'd no more finished the book than we got COVID. I'd no more finished dealing with the COVID than all sorts of riots and demonstrations broke out. I didn't get to the it was just too late to deal with wildfires in the West.
So you wrote the book in 2019, and as you say, we were deep in an era of idiot populism and hooligan partisanship. Well, that certainly hasn't changed, but I am curious as what you think that COVID has added. What has a global pandemic added to the equation?
Well, you know, it certainly we've all felt it just adds, like, one little extra layer of, like, worry and annoyance to everything in life, not to mention those people who are really suffering economically or have to put themselves out and you know, all of that. But the other thing is that we were all so angry at each other, and, you know, now we've been cooped up for 7 months at home. So, like, a one side of me is thinking, oh, man, maybe we're going to emerge from this with a new sort of calm, pragmatic, practical, militant, moderate idea of government. Government's a great big machine. We want to produce a lot of stuff for us. But we know we have to put the raw material, like our taxes, into the other end of the machine in order to get that production. So we want this machine to work efficiently, and we got to decide just what this machine should produce and what it shouldn't, so on. And so maybe we'll come out of this, like, all calmed down. Or, having been cooped up alone for 7 months, fretting and worrying and boiling over our own grievances and grudges and angers, maybe we'll emerge from this worse than ever, more angry than ever, because that's how human nature works. And I say I'm kind of betting on human nature, and I don't mean that in a good way.
You know, we started off by you saying that you're a head scratcher, and I certainly agree with that, in the sense I feel the same way. But, you know, you've got the debates coming up, and I think to myself, well, if I was a rational-minded person, I wouldn't watch them. I would just go and put a blanket over my head and cry, you know, much like I have over the last 3.5 years. And then I think, well, no, I can't miss them. How do you miss that? How do you not see that? And that also seems like it's part of the problem, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I think go with your gut on that one. You know, I am, unless like somebody calls me up and says, we're going to pay you $10,000 to write 800 words about the debate, a very unlikely scenario, incidentally. But if somebody should happen to do that, I will watch the debate. Otherwise, I'm going to be under the covers with you, and I'm not saying anything about our personal relationship.
Yeah, understood.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm a political reporter, and I'm not going to watch this because, you know, it's going to be like, I don't know if you watched it yesterday. I had to watch the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes.
Play the Saints just to see Tom and Gronk one last time.
Sure.
And it may be the last time. Painful, painful, painful game. And, you know, I thought after the game was finished, I thought I could have waited till Monday morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
To
absolutely.
Hear about this.
And
yeah, and so I feel the same way about the debates. I think I'll check the major news sources afterwards.
And we, I think all of us are on the same page here that the next 50 whatever days, 49, 50 days, are just going to be ugly and horrible. And then
they
God
are.
Only knows what the days after that is going to be, depending on what happens in 50 days.
Let's hope that what happens is, first, let's hope that it's decisive.
Right.
Because, like, leadership in the wrong direction can be, like, less dangerous than leadership in no direction than none. I personally, even though I'm, like, a conservative Republican, libertarian, whatever I am, you know, I hope it's just a plain decisive win for Joe Lieberman, whether it's just no... for Joe Lieberman.
Yeah, I was about to say. Wow.
I'm living in a parallel universe.
Going back.
Those were my deep wishes.
The hits of yesterday and today. Yes.
I hope this is a decisive win for Joe. Just so, even though this is probably going to lead to, like, you know, 2 years of, like, maybe really expensive programs and things that probably don't work out. And, you know, because I think if Biden wins decisively, that the Democrats are also going to take the House of Representatives. And so for 2 years, we're probably going to have the liberals running wild. But, you know, we've survived that, you know. It'll give me a lot of, like, huffy-puffy things to write, be indignantly writing about. But it'll be sort of back in the, what I think of as back in the normal parameter of wrong.
Well, to read all about those parameters, you can check out P.J. O'Rourke's new book. It is A Cry from the Far Middle, Dispatches from a Divided Land. It is an absolutely delightful book. It's published by Atlantic. And I thank you very much for being with us, as always.
Well,
a great pleasure.
Well, thank you, Joe. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Be well. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.